Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, I have a very special guest, my good friend, Dr. Latasha Thomas, who's an author, worth coach, motivational speaker, and restoration strategist who helps women achieve success in relationships and engage in personal development. She comes today with her story about what she learned through her divorce. It's a very powerful story, and a lot of gems were mined. This is an episode you do not want to miss. Also, for new and current listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review on iTunes. It helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. And now, without further ado, here's the episode. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Power Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have my good friend, Latasha Thomas. Say hello.
Hey, it's Latasha Thomas.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Doctor. Tasha Thomas, my fault. Yes, my fault. Listen. My apologies.
It's, you know, all you got good.
No, I got I'm putting some respect on your name. So I have my friend Dr. Latasha Thomas, who is an author, a worth coach, restoration strategist, and motivational speaker, an all-around dope person. So I'm just really glad to have her on. I'm really glad to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share.
It's not a problem. Y'all can't see her, but the hair is laid. Y'all can't see it. Like, y'all don't see the sheen and the bounce it has. It's okay. I see it. And I'm just going to let y'all know that it's on point. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to start with the iceberg question. So if you could live anywhere in the world for a year, where would it be?
Oh, man. Now, you could have warned me or something on this one.
Now I hit you with that two-piece. Boom, boom, no biscuits.
Wow, so, right from the start. Mm-hmm. Okay, so honestly, I have not traveled the world a lot. And so my perspective is very limited on this question, but guess who's going to be traveling? Come on
Facts.
In here.
Facts.
So my favorite place so far was Jamaica. I was in Montego Bay, and just the level of service and attentiveness and the beauty of the island from what I saw was great. So, you know what? Out of the places I've traveled, I'd have to go back there.
Nice. Very nice. I haven't been to Jamaica. I've been to Half Moon Cay. I've been to Dominican Republic, but I haven't been to Jamaica, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I thought
I thought it would be kind of cliche when I went, but it was really, you know how it is, but it was really nice. Cozumel is beautiful as well.
Oh, I heard about Cozumel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, I've said before in previous episodes, I want to live in Japan. I loved it so much because one, the food is amazing. I'm a big food fan. So that's the one place. Two, that's where a lot of like anime and comic books are, which I'm a big fan of. The culture is nice. And it's just really nice out there. I love it. I would, honestly, if I could, well, my job teleworks, I could probably move out there. They ain't got to know. But that's another story. But yeah, Japan will be my number one place I would want to go, because I've been there before and I highly recommend that one. I would highly recommend going.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'm gonna check it out. It's on my list.
Yes. Yeah. So again, I know I've said this before. I still want to thank you for coming on, because I know you have a story that you'd like to tell us. And when I spoke to you, you know, before we started, you know what I mean? Like I said, I've seen, you know, for lack of a better term, the come up, and I'm very glad. I'm genuinely glad and happy to see people I know just come up. You know what I mean? So I'm very happy and I'm very proud to see, you know, doing your thing. And I'm very, very happy, for real. And I wanted you to come on and just share your story. So the floor is yours. Please share your forgiveness story.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, you know, again, thank you for this opportunity. I think sometimes when we speak about forgiveness, we often say that we've forgiven people, but to truly know it, to truly know that you've embodied forgiveness is something different. So just to start my story, I entered a religious marriage in 2010. Love, you know, everything, checked off every box for the Christian marriage, went through counseling prior to, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that was the person I was supposed to marry. Mm-hmm. And I still say that today, like I don't have any regrets. But things just don't always work out. Situations happen. And let me just say this, I will never degrade my ex-husband, because that's, you know, was the point, right? We can focus on the other person really easily, but the best way to forgive is to really focus on healing yourself mm-hmm. and moving forward and, you know, being the best person you can be. So there was some tumultuous things that I went through in my marriage, and, you know, we decided to separate. And it wasn't something I wanted. When I took my vows, I meant it. But things don't always work out. And so I had to go through not only transitioning to being a single mother, but also dealing with the shame, because I was in leadership in church. And if any of you know, when you're in church, there is the divorce is not an option. And, you know, if you're in the forefront, people are looking at you. You're going to church and people are checking out your finger, looking to see, oh, where's so-and-so, right? Asking you questions. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen him in a while. Where, you know, and so you have to go through that. And honestly, I even experienced like people that were friends, mutual friends. They didn't know how to take it. And this is my assumption, but they really didn't know how to address it or move forward. Because when you're in that Christian community, there's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah.
So it was hard. It was hard, no doubt about it. But my story of forgiveness comes where I recognize that two imperfect people make imperfect decisions, and we all play a role in that, right? Owning the things that I could have changed or done differently, healing from within, and moving forward was my method of forgiveness. So, you know, and as challenges come about in the co-parenting relationship, and as the other person moves forward, that's your test of true forgiveness, right? Because you can become so bitter and angry in a divorce. I see how easy it can be, but I chose the higher road. I chose not to create that environment, not to make it difficult for my children,
yeah.
and to just forgive and move on. And so that would be probably, you know, the most profound amount of forgiveness I've been called to provide.
Okay. So what did that journey look like when to get to that point of forgiveness?
Woo. So I guess the start of it was, you know, one day I was talking to some close friends of mine, and they were kind of helping me walk through that brokenness phase that you might experience in a divorce. And I was just in tears, like tears. I couldn't even see myself in the mirror.
Of course.
And we were talking, and my really good friend said to me, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? And I'm literally standing in my room looking in the mirror, and I could not see myself, not because of the tears, but because of the hurt and the pain and the rejection and the this and the that, the shame. So for me, the start of the forgiveness was forgiving myself, not feeling like, you know, there was no recovery from that decision or no recovery from that phase in my life. And so really just going on a journey to forgive myself and to begin to return to the woman I was, the woman that was within, making sure that I was still staying prayed up. That's the easiest thing for people to say who are Christian, but the practical the reality of it is just taking one step at a time, having your brokenness and crying and being frustrated, especially, you know, as I transitioned as a single mom, trying to give my kids everything I could and being broken myself, openness with my friends, being honest about where I was, and, you know, just trying to take one step at a time is probably the best thing I can say. Forgiveness comes with time and intention. So
I agree with that. So with that forgiveness, and like you said, it takes time. The one quote that I've heard a long time says, "Time heals all wounds." And I'll be blunt, I don't like that saying.
I don't either.
So okay, cool. So I can be real with you. So
did you hear the second part? The second part was
no.
And I said them together on purpose. The second part was time and intention. Yeah, because
yeah,
you can sit. Let me tell you something. I've seen so many people sit in that space and stay in that space, whether it be months, weeks, years. You have to be intentional about not staying stuck.
Come on now.
And so you it's so important. And so that's kind of where the birth of my guided journals came from. Mm-hmm. Was I didn't want another sister to go through a divorce, mm-hmm, and stay there, be, yeah, bitter, angry, yeah, hold it against the person, talk bad about them all the time. There's so much life to live out here. Why stay there? So intention is key.
Ladies and gentlemen, the altar is open for offerings for Dr. Thomas. Just lay them all out. Just lay it out. It's all good. It doesn't matter. Just it's open. So, and honestly, you hit the nail on the head, time and intention, because, mm-hmm, like you said, there are some people who like to sit in that situation, and whether there's a difference between not knowing what to do and then just sitting in it and not, mm-hmm, wanting to do anything about it. You know what I mean? And you're right. Bitterness can fester in that time. Anger can fester. So many things can fester that can change you into somebody that you just don't recognize anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was there and I became a person that I didn't like, and it affected relationships with people like my mom, my wife. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh gosh, time and intention. Good. That's a whole word. That's a whole word. It really is. So I remember you said moving forward was your way of forgiving. So can you, so speak to that for me?
Moving forward. So the journal that I created, honestly, is how kind of a walkthrough how I moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I created has sections, reflect, release, and pursue.
Mm.
So in order to reflect, you know, you need to be able to see yourself. You need to be able to take off the mask. I think sometimes when we try to heal from things, we just patch it up. So you really need to take that time to discover the root of your situation. So in my situation, I said, okay, how did I end up at a divorce? What in me, forget all the stuff that was done, right? What in me led to that? Was it my mindset going into my marriage? Was it some situation or environment that kind of helped foster certain things in me that could have led to it? what is it at the root and at the core of my being that could have helped me get there? You make sense? And then, so once you get through that deep rooted stuff, and sometimes that's difficult to walk through, you need to be able to release it. So you have to let go of it, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, I used to, but I'm not anymore, or I won't be anymore. And being very intentional about changing that mindset piece is so key, because it's the mindset that drives us one way or another. And then the last part is really finding your solution. What is it that you let go of? For me, I dimmed my light in my marriage. There were passions and desires that I gave up because I wanted to save that thing. You know, I wanted to save my marriage, or I wanted to do this or that. So I let go of certain parts of me that led to less happiness, that led to, you know, I didn't have good self-esteem at times, and things like that. So I then chose, you know what? There's a purpose in this pain. I know that's another cliche saying, but there is purpose in everything that we go through, and to be able to then realize and actually pursue something greater. So again, that's reflect, release, and pursue.
I'm gonna let you know, that's not a cliche. That's life. That's just life, honestly.
Yeah.
So those three things, reflect, release, and pursue, those are powerful, and I really like those. So listening to what you're telling me, it seems like a lot of self-reflection was done here.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to that, I'm gonna speak for me. When it came to self-reflection in my journey to forgive, basically God had to humble me straight out. He had to. And he straight out said, you know, go to my Bible, go to Matthew chapter 6. I said, bet, what's in there? You know what I mean? What's in Matthew? What's in the sixth chapter? And the Bible was just, and it said in Matthew 6, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you. And I said,
oh.
Yep, I had that and I ooh moment I had. And I had to really, and once I released that, it was cool. But then I did that reflection. I was just like, what was the point of me holding on to that anger?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'll be honest, I'll be blunt. I don't know if I said this, but I will say it. The reason why I held on to it was because I wanted my biological mom to hurt as much as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the saying came in. It's like drinking poison, hoping that the other person's going to die.
Correct.
And basically, I was basically poisoned here. It was a lot of self-reflection. So with your self-reflection, right, when it came to that, how did that help you with forgiving? How did it help you?
Well, for me, you know, I realized that I'm imperfect, right? I'm certainly imperfect. And so if I'm imperfect, couldn't my former spouse have been imperfect as well? And if we're seeing from an imperfect lens, we're going to make decisions that are not necessarily helpful to someone else, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, listen, if we know that we're imperfect and other folks can be too, then that's a start right there. And then once you begin to reflect on things, like I had to realize that some of my low self-esteem led to certain decisions that I made, right? And so I had to forgive myself of that and just say, well, God, you know, heal this part in me, because I want joy and I want peace. You know, and so, yeah, the whole drinking poison thing, I just said, you know, I'm not going to let this situation pull me down. I'm not going to let what someone else does destroy my peace. And I think that's the part, right?
Not letting,
because, you know, I just honestly, I was just on a group chat, and it was this person asking about how do you get over like the co-parenting piece, and if the other person is saying detrimental things. And I said, listen, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is taking care of your kids. Mm-hmm. The main thing is just handling your business and moving on. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really, I guess the best thing I could say is that you just have to take a step forward and realize that, hey, what I'm going through is just a moment in time, and I can step forward, right? It's just a moment in time. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to grow. And even if there were mistakes made, they're proof that you're trying, right?
Thanks.
And so how can we make the next situation better?
That's a great point. All great points. All great. See, thank you, Dr. Thomas, coming through with the word.
Oh, goodness.
So here's the thing with that. There are a lot of times we let other people steal our peace. It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm. And whether it's times where we know it and times that we don't. So what do you say to folks to help them like kind of maintain or keep their peace? Like what is something you could say about that?
Boundaries. That's the first word that came up.
The B word that no one likes.
Because and boundaries don't have to be seen, right? Like for example, if someone is doing something that steals your joy, you may have moments where you have this frustration, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do with the frustration? Do you lash out in frustration and anger back at the person? No, I chose not to. There are times when people need to have honest conversations, but you have to know who you're dealing with too.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the fact that you're giving that person that energy is enough to fuel more fire. But if you don't give them the energy, you can handle, if you can maintain your emotions, acknowledge them, all right, and then brush them off. I mean, there's been times where I was frustrated for sure. But I say, you know, I'm not going to let this person steal my joy. I'm going to brush it off and I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to say, and the other thing is, if I do become frustrated, I need to figure out the root of my frustration.
Mm.
What am I frustrated for? What is my motivation behind whatever this situation really is? Is it because I want to control the situation or the other person still? Is it because I feel inadequate in this situation? Like, I guess for my, this is how I knew I really, really forgave my ex-husband. And it's a recent situation. I met the new person, right? Mm-hmm. And so some people were like, oh my gosh, how did it feel? Like, what's going on with that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was like meeting somebody else, somebody random. Like, it was nothing to me. It was nothing. Gave her a hug, you know, thanked her for taking care of my children in my absence.
Wow.
Like, it was nothing to me. And that's how I knew that I was healed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes forgiveness comes with the test.
Mm.
And there are going to be little tests along the way, right? It's like these little tests, like you know, your kid comes home, says, hey, mom, dad has a new girlfriend. Are you going to flip out? You going to talk about them? What you going to do? Huh? So there's little tiny tests that come along and they let you know whether or not you truly have forgiven that person and have you truly healed and moved on. Another one I thought about was like, you know how for me, when I first got separated, and I would see people with rings on, right? Hey, you married, you got a ring on, that's beautiful, right? But within me, initially, I was like, dang, like, I'm not still married. I'm about to take my ring off. Like, dang, mine isn't working. Like, how is it that mine didn't work? You know what I mean? So you're comparing yourself. And then before you know it, things like that shift and you don't think about it anymore. So you have to, like, acknowledge where you are, acknowledge the hurt and go through it in order to actually get to that place where you can forgive and you can get over it. So yeah, this is, listen, those tests are no joke sometimes, and that's how you know for sure. I mean, you can look at, like, we're all on social media, Facebook posts, Instagram posts, everybody's giving you the highlight reel. You only see the couple that's so amazingly, the vacations and the this.
The hashtag relationship goals.
Listen, okay, there's a whole lot of hashtags out here in the streets. But when you can truly celebrate somebody else's anniversary and things like that and mean it, like, you're not just typing it, you mean it.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are ways you know that you've forgiven.
Yeah, I agree with that. Forgiveness comes with the test. Good. Great. That's I'm going to just sit with that for a minute. That. I'm going to hold on to that. Like, I'm going to hold on to that myself. Forgiveness comes with the test. Like, that's powerful. That is powerful, because a lot of people think that there's some people probably think, you know, once I forgive, it's over. It's like, nope, you're going to be constantly tested.
You know are. What I mean?
And like, was it the devil knows your triggers? And that's all, like, that's a whole word. Oh my gosh. Just that's a whole. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. I'm just let that sit with me. So the one thing you said, well, not one, but multiple things, but one of the things you said was you have to acknowledge the hurt. And the thing that I've seen a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, there's some people I've seen who just, they act like it don't affect them. Mm. A lot of, it's like, I'm fine. I don't care. I ain't worried about it.
Mm. Well,
let's do the first thing that Dr. Thomas said was reflect. And are you really over it? Don't sound like you are. I mean, you know what I mean? But that's the one thing that I will say. You have to acknowledge the hurt. And it's okay to say it. It's okay to say you're hurt. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. It's fine. Mm-hmm. There are times I've talked to people and I've coached with them and they said, I'm sorry for the tears. I say, no, let them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've said this before. It's like, perfect example. You take a can of soda, you shake it aggressively. And then you know how you feel the can, how tight it is. It's about to explode. Because you know, if you open, it's going to explode. And I was like, that's how people do with emotions. It's like you've held it in. It's ready to come out. You're like, nope, 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 nope. You're shaking your own can. And it's going to explode in the wrong place, wrong time, on the wrong person. So when you say acknowledge the hurt, can you speak a little bit on that for me?
Yeah. So I can say I've done a little bit of both in that journey to forgiveness. Initially, so I went from, you know, having help taking my kids to school to the next day having to handle it on my own. And so I just stuffed it, you know, I'm a doer, right? And so I stuffed it and I would just go on about my business. I took care of the kids that day. I just went into work mode. I went into, I guess some people might even say survival mode, right?
Yeah.
But then I would find myself driving to work sometimes and the emotions would just come out. And so because I'm in healthcare, once I got to work, it was gone. Like I had to, that's it, you know, I had to leave that in the car or wherever it was before going to work and taking care of people and their concerns all day long.
Yeah.
Then I would come home and have two very young kids, 4 and 6 at the time, who had their own emotions. So mommy's emotions were trashed until after 9 o'clock when they were asleep. And then I was just too tired, right? And so for me, I had a season where I was stuffing my emotions and I probably was bleeding out onto people my negativity, right? I'm so thankful for people who are supportive of me and who gave me a safe space to do that, to live and to breathe in that moment. because it's so important. I think sometimes we need reminders that it's okay to feel. Yep. And so once I began to give myself space to feel, time, you know, when you're going through a situation like that, it's easy to fill your time with things, right? Because you're busy, you're trying to handle responsibilities on your own. And then I would find myself, when I didn't have the kids, whether it be one day at some point in the separation, or if it was a weekend or whatever, I would just be busy. I was like, ooh, let me do something that I can't do when I have my kids, or let me run 15 errands. Why? 15 errands while they're not with me. And before I knew it, I was like, no, this stuff is just piling up, you know, like all up under the rug. Yeah. You know how your kids try to clean their room and they ain't clean nothing. They just threw it up under the rug, or they just threw it up under the, that's what was doing with my emotions, because in those seasons I was doing instead of stopping, pausing, giving myself a place to feel. And so once I actually did that, that's when I was able to fully acknowledge the emotion, and it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good at all. But you have to be able to sit in that and then allow yourself the space and then say, okay, I shed my tears. What's next? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say this to everybody. Everybody who's listening, it's okay to feel. Your emotions are valid. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And we have to be okay with getting uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is, crying may not be natural for a lot of people. It may not be normal for them. You know what I mean? But when you release it, it may be uncomfortable, but it's a good release. I'm telling you, them hot tears is a release. I'm gonna be honest. It really. Listen,
you gonna cry and get you some good rest,
man. You ain't lying. You ain't lying. They're like, oh man, I'm all cried out. I need a nap. Like, where did that come from? And it, like, you ain't lying. You definitely ain't lying. You also said when to release, which is the second part. Would you say when it comes to releasing, it's a conscious decision to release?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes people release physically, like they may write it on a piece of paper and burn it. They may trash it. They may put it in a box and send it. You know, people have creative ways of releasing things. Yes. Some people, it's just journal writing. I went through a season where that was a way for me to release my thoughts and my emotions, because sometimes when you want to say it, it doesn't do it justice. But yes, it's an absolute conscious decision. It is a daily decision as well. To just let go of things, you know, like what good is this holding on to this doing for me? And then there's so many ailments, physical ailments that manifest themselves when you don't release emotion, so many of them, stress-induced anxiety, stress-induced whatever, like there's so much stuff, and I see it clinically. And so I'm like, do I want to be this person that's in front of me that needs my help right now because I didn't forgive somebody? And if you ask certain conditions, if you ask the person, they're like, I say, what would you say? What would you tell someone that's younger than you or whatever? And they would say, just let stuff go. I've heard that so many times. So yeah, it is definitely conscious.
Yeah. Would you also say that it's a decision that has to, would you say it's a one-time thing, or does it have to keep on being done?
Has to keep going. Because like I said, with the forgiveness piece, they come with a test, and that test is your opportunity to release it, right? So have I released it? And if I'm feeling triggered, this is my chance to change that trajectory. Right.
Absolutely that. I'm just getting gems from just talking to you. I'm just like, yeah, this is good. So whenever I know you, I heard you say like you're a doer, you're a doer. And you also, so in the last word, pursue. So for you, what did you do in order to pursue?
Look at you with your word choice. All right, do yeah. to pursue. Okay. So what did I do to pursue? My journey actually started with recognizing that what's interesting is when I was married, I would see myself speaking in public places, like dreams, visions, whatever you want to call them. And so, but I would never see my ex. And I was always confused by that because yeah. I felt like it was supposed to be the two of us, right? And at the time, we were serving in church together and things like that. So I was like, maybe it's just the way the dream happened. But when the divorce actually happened, I realized that had given me that vision for me. And so he knows the end before the beginning, you know?
Yeah, and you
so, right. So I was like, oh. And I had this passion in me, this burden really, to help other people, help other women in particular, not get stuck. And I mentioned that a little bit ago. And so one of my friends, she said, I had started writing a book while I was still married and everything. And I stopped because I felt like I could no longer talk about it. It was about dating, trying to get, you know, making good decisions in marriage. I started writing that. And so I felt like I can't talk about this topic anymore. So let me stop. But one of my friends, she said, Latasha, there is this Facebook group. And at the time, I was not on any social media whatsoever. She said, there's this Facebook group just doing this book challenge. And I'm like, I ain't getting on nobody's Facebook, sis. I'm good living in my little dream tunnel. And I'm good. And she was like, no, you got to do it. So I joined this Facebook with a ghost account just so I could be a part of this group. And out of the group came my journal, my first journal. And what it was a journal writing challenge. And I literally wrote my first journal, Worth More Than Rubies, in a couple of days. Like I felt like, oh, let me go ahead and handle this, right? Okay. So I got that published and I was like, you know what? This is why I went through the things that I went through. I know it's not for no reason, right? And so released that. And then a few months later, and I did that afraid because I was like, ain't nobody going to buy my journal. Nobody's going to want a journal, but we just going to go with the flow, Jesus. We just going to follow you. And and so from that, some of the men I talked to were like, well, what about us? Because you only got this journal for women. What you talking about? So I went ahead and I published that one cover to cover on my own. And so, yeah, so that's how I ended up pursuing. The whole thing is you need to recognize why you went through that. Mm-hmm. And through your why, I can't forget to mention that I went to a conference because I knew it was something greater than me. And so I went to a speaking and coaching conference. And that's where I narrowed down my niche. That's where I narrowed down my market. And then very shortly after, the Facebook group came about. So everything happened in God's timing. You know, it's slow and progressive. Now there's so many different opportunities before me. There's so many different avenues that I'm pursuing. And it's all because I found myself again, you know? It's all because of that.
See right there. And I feel you on doing it afraid. Oh, it is highly uncomfortable, but God provides. God does provide. I will say that. His grace is sufficient. I will definitely, definitely say that. So what does forgiveness mean to you now?
Hmm. That's such a heavy question. You know that too. I know you know that. What does forgiveness mean to me? It means, if I had to define it, it's an intentional release of the right and the power. of the right and the power to harm someone else because of what they've done to you. I guess that's my best definition.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Ain't no guess. That is a good one. What is something you wish you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
Early? I would say that the best thing, the best catalyst for forgiveness is to allow yourself to feel that first phase is to allow yourself to feel and really acknowledge that and get the tools under your toolbox to get through it. Because sometimes we really can't. I had counseling for sure, especially early on. And I wanted to make sure my kids transition well as well. So let's not pretend that we can do this on our own.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree with that. Mm-hmm. And what is something you want to impart to the audience?
Wow. Look at you with the deep questions. All right, audience. All right. So my biggest thing is just explore the recesses, the small parts of your heart that you've covered up, and be okay with being uncomfortable acknowledging those parts, and just take one thing, one aspect of your life at a time. Don't feel like you need to forgive everyone who's ever hurt you right now, right? Just take it one thing at a time and make sure that you do it carefully, intentionally, and holy.
Again, the altar is open for offerings for Dr. Thomas and her ministry. If just feel the urge or feel the calling, the nudge to bless her ministry, just go ahead and do it. But when I say thank you for blessing us with your presence on this podcast, thank you for real for doing this. I appreciate you. So right now, I want you to promote whatever you have going on, because I want people to connect with you. I want people to just connect with what you're doing. So the floor is yours. Please tell everybody what you got going on.
So, of course, I have two journals that I mentioned earlier. The first one is Worth More Than Rubies, A Guide to Restoring Your Worth After a Divorce, and that's for women. And that one, both of these are on Amazon, or you can find them on my website, Victory by Nicole, NICOLE.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Victory by Nicole. And I'm also on Facebook as well. So all of those platforms, you can find the journals on Amazon. If you just search Dr. Latasha Thomas, you can find it. And then also the second one for men is Greater Than Gold, a guided journal for divorced men. And so they're very practical things, just some prompts, questions, deep questions to help you explore. And even for people, I've received some feedback from people who are single, never been divorced, who still benefited from the questions that were in the journals. So if you are interested in connecting with me, let's engage.
Absolutely. And for those who didn't catch it, I'm going to have the links in the show notes. Please cop the journals. Get like 80 copies each for every member of your family. Follow her on all social media platforms, because again, like, she's dope. Like, I've known her since we were in choir. You know what I mean? And don't let her fool you. She can sing. But that's not the point. The point is, you know what I mean? Just, I've known her, and to see just her just just on just come up from what from you know this situation, it's just been nothing short of amazing in God's grace, and I'm just very happy and proud of her and to have her on this podcast. For real, I appreciate you. I do.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
That was a very, very powerful episode. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Dr. Thomas, for being open and honest and vulnerable with your story. When she said to reflect, release, and pursue, that one got me. And that's something I want to ask you. Have you reflected? Have you released? Have you pursued? I want you all to think about that. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. I also want to say thank you for all the new and current listeners who have been listening to this podcast. We appreciate you so much. We also ask you, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, help the podcast get more reach. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins and was buried and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you have made this decision, get in a good Bible teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and even ask your friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. As it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask friends who have received therapy for recommendations. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please share this with other people. You never know what they're going through, and the episode you just listened to may help them. I also wanted to let you know the Power of Forgiveness is on Instagram. That link is in the show notes. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Imagine what it would be like to no longer hold anger in your heart and forgive the people who have hurt you. Imagine finding the career that you were meant to have. Well, that's what coaching can do for you. At Breakthrough Coaching, we connect with people who want to break through the wall that keeps them from forgiving someone that has hurt them and finding the career they have always dreamed of. If you or anyone you know wants to break through the wall that is stopping you from these goals, schedule a session with us. That link is in the show notes below. We would love to help and see you thrive and achieve the goals that you have. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.